Your word is special. Your word is unique. Your word is from you. And we accept that. And we know that your word has an absolute authority to it. So we pray that as we go through the message here today, that the Holy Spirit guides us and just pulls us in, and reins us in from the worldly distractions and just brings us in to the closeness of you. And this we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. So, our message is today, live or die. What do you want to do? Live? Yeah. It was actually kind of a neat... I kind of know what I want to do through the week, and then it's really not until the end of the week that I kind of put verses together and stuff. But as I'm putting the verses together, things evolve for me, you know, in terms of the way the message really is going to come out and stuff. And I like how that works. It does that an awful lot for me. So this one here, what we're going to do is we're going to look at, you know, what maybe the world thinks of living and dying. And I was going to put on here, you know, life and death. And I switched it back to that, and then I switched it back. So I think it just to live or die, I think, is really what we need to have put on there. To begin with, I've got some statements from some atheists and some agnostic individuals. So an atheist is an individual that doesn't believe in the God at all, that there is no God, all right? So that's what an atheist believes. And so let's look at what they think about what it means to live and also what they think it means to die. Because I think you're going to find that there's people that you're going to run into someplace down the road, right? Are they going to be an atheist? They may not even call themselves an atheist, but they have no knowledge of God, and which is kind of funny. Like in America, we have that. It's like, yeah, we do. You know, really, we're becoming a very godless nation, and we're looking at this. So I want you to look at this and see what it says. So an atheist view of life. He says, when we look for things in life we love, meaning and motivation, we tend to think that they are sitting behind a tree or under a rock. It is not until late in life that we discover that we have to create our own love, manufacture our own meaning, and generate our own motivation. So where do they get their love? Well, they create it. Where do they get their meaning in life? Well, they create it. You know, it's all about their own creation that goes with it. It has nothing to do with God. It's just whatever they feel love is, whatever they feel the meaning of life is, and whatever they feel would motivate them, that is life to them. All right? Again, no presence of God in any of this stuff here. Well, if we look at death, let's see what they say about death here. So he says, what we think happens when we die is that we die. We're done. That's it. Only our contributions to the world we are departing will live on. That's all there is to it. So whatever they leave behind, whether it's wealth or knowledge or whatever, that's their mark on life, and boom, end of story. Charlie.
Well, I've been to the bullet a couple times. It's been between rocket attacks, mortar attacks, snipers, and then straight on firefighters. And there have been several self-proclaimed atheists. And during some of those, they've yelled the loudest, God, please save me.
Yeah.
So in my, and this is only my perspective from that, I don't think there's any true atheists. Mm-hmm. I think they may want to justify themselves, but when the rubber meets the road, the truth comes out.
Yeah, yeah. What's the saying? There's no atheists in foxholes. Yeah. Because you know God has planted His will in us. I know He's done that. Hey, Carol, you know you were there. And all of a sudden, Carol's there, and it's like, wow. Yeah. So, yeah, I do believe, you know, you're right on that aspect of it. So, but, you know, in our mind, you know, we think we can live a life without God. And really, it comes down to it. We really can't. But this is, I'm thinking, you know, if there's no standard at all, it's just whatever the individual feels. So now we're going to look at, and just the other thing too is like, I was reading through a lot. There's a lot of these little quotes and stuff that I could have put up there. But one that kind of amazed me was, who's the, Hawkins, is it? Stephen Hawkins? He was a guy with ALS, right? And he's an atheist and stuff. And he didn't believe in God and stuff. And his whole thing, he was talking, he says, my hope is that the things that I've learned will be passed on and I'll be noted for this and I'll be noted for that. Which was just like some discovery, you know, whatever, some scientific thing. Yeah.
Just before we get into all that, because as a young girl in my teens, that's what started drawing me to God, is I had a question in my head. I'm like, does everybody just live and then die? They just live and then they die. So you can live like you want, as good as you want, or as terrible as you want, and you live and you just die. Is that it, Lord? And yeah. I began to look for God as a young girl before we started.
Yeah. And I do think I'm kind of the same way. There's a hunger in us for more than just that. Yeah, and why we want to live like an atheist or think that way is kind of crazy. You know, there was other people that were writing and putting in there about just, you know, well, I hope I'm not going to die tomorrow. I want to be able to live longer. You know, and it's like, so, you know, they could add more contributions to life or be able to get richer or, you know, have more things. I don't know. But there's like, you know, their whole point is like, Even there's discussions too. I'm just kind of going off track here, but the point is like, even like abortions and stuff like that. A lot of atheists have no problems with doing abortions because, like, so what? You live and you die, and it's like, you know, why put those little babies through pain and suffering through life when we can just end their lives and be done with it? And there's no remorse or any. There's no morality that kind of goes with their line of thinking in terms of the way we think and stuff. Well, the next one we're going to look at is agnostic. We're going to look at what they see of life and what they see of death. So an agnostic person has basically two things that they believe. One is there may be a God, but we don't know, and we will never know the truth of that. Or there may not be a God, and we don't know, and we'll never know the truth of that. That's an agnostic, right? So they have there will be no personal relationship with God. They don't deny that God isn't there, but they don't deny that He is there either. It's just weird in terms of thinking about that. It's kind of shallow in my mind. But we look at this, and so their view, because they think there could be an existence of God, this is what they say, their view of life. And he says it's a personal belief. Right, I choose what I want to believe, and I can vary from person to person. Some agnostics believe that the meaning of life is to find happiness and fulfillment in this world, while others believe that the meaning of life is to seek truth and understanding the nature of existence. Ron,
most agnostics are philosophers.
Probably it makes sense, yeah, because they want their knowledge to be, you know, looked at and stuff like that, and. So let's look at their view of death. It says you can't ever be certain what comes when you die. The only way you'll know is once you have died. Then you'll figure it out, right? I let go of the fear of death and eternal damnation, and I'm happy. Don't live life wondering about what will happen when you're gone, when you can just live in the now and enjoy yourself. All right, so don't live for the future because you don't know what the future is. And when he talks about that eternal damnation, what he's talking about is that you live a sinful life, right? Yeah. It's like, yeah, and they're just removing that sin, you know, the existence of sin, saying, well, I can do anything I want and I'm fine and happy, and it makes them live at peace. You know, so when they die, they'll deal with whatever happens then. Problem is, that's eternity, you know, in our mind, it goes with us. All right, so we're looking at this, and now we're going to get into some scripture and see what scripture has to say, because I think it's important for us to distinguish the differences. I think the two different views that we have that I've already presented, there's a lot of that out there. And when we talk about our political stuff that was brought up in our prayers and prayers time was the government, and everybody has their own views, you know, in our leaders. And there seems to be no unity, and there's no cohesion of the people coming together. And it's like, I'm thinking, well, whatever comes, well, you know, do whatever you feel. Is make your own truth, you know. And it's like, I think this is why we're having problems, is because we are becoming a godless nation and we have no standard anymore. We have no guidance that goes with it. And whatever feels good, we do it. And we could care less about the person next to us or the state next to us or the country next to us. It doesn't, you know, there's no value to any of that stuff there. Well, Ecclesiastes, it talks about being under the sun. And that's mentioned an awful lot in that particular book. It's an Old Testament book. And they claim that Ecclesiastes is kind of written by Solomon, and who experienced an awful lot in life and tested a lot of things in life. And being a very wise person, he wrote some things down. And he says this, and we're going to read it, and I'll just talk about it in just a moment. It says, Ecclesiastes 9, 3 through 4. The actual title for this section here is A Common Destiny for All. That's what it was on my Bible. It says this, "This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of men, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live, and afterwards they join the dead." So, right, so people live, but there's evil in their hearts, right? They just do whatever they want to do, and then they die. Does that sound like anything that we just mentioned about the atheists and even the agnostics people? It's exactly what it is. Oh, this is a scripture verse. What does that mean? But remember I mentioned something that says, under the sun. Every time that is mentioned, that means on this world. Right? This is a worldly view of what it means to have life and what it means to die. The worldly view is that life is sinful, but whatever, and then we die. And even Solomon saw that. Right? So yeah, it is. It's in Scripture, but it's not referencing Christ. It's not referencing anything. It's referencing the world. So if you ever go through that Ecclesiastes and you look at the number of times it says under the sun, it doesn't mean Christ. It means just the world without Christ, basically, is what it's referencing. So that's, he sees that. You know, it's just we live and we die. Right? And so we have. That's it. That's just the title. That we live or we die. In this case here, we do both. We live however we want to live, and the world says that, and then we just die. Whatever happens, happens. You know, and it's like, again, to me, that's kind of a shallow way to live, because I would want my existence to be much more than that of a turtle. You know, that lives and dies, and you know, it doesn't really have much more that goes along with it. The turtle might say differently, but I'm just saying, you know. All right, so let's look at the Christian's death and life. And it was really hard. I wanted to have scripture verses that just talked about life and scripture verses that just talked about death. It didn't seem to really have that. And that's one of the things that really sprung out in my work at putting the message together, is that we view life and death differently than regular people, non-Christian people. We view life in terms of, well, we'll see here in a moment, but maybe I'm just getting ahead of myself. Maybe what I'll do is just read some scripture here with you. So in Romans 6:23, he says, "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, when we're talking about that life and we're talking about that death, it's not really the physical that we're talking about. It's about that spiritual birth. And it's about that spiritual death that we also have. The wages of sin is death. That death doesn't really occur when our body ceases to live. That death happens then. In fact, we are all born into sin because of that of Adam and Eve, right? Not because of their sin, but that innateness that sin is within us, and we want to sin. And because of that sin, the consequence is death. And everyone has been judged accordingly. We all sin. We all have death. But then there's this gift that we have from God. The gift of eternal life. And we're going to look at what allows that to happen and through us here in just a moment. But the gift of life comes from God. That means that we have a life within our life that is eternal. Does that make sense what I'm saying so far? Very, very different from the atheist and the agnostic. They think of just the physical life, and whatever happens, happens. That's just life. And when we die, we die. But the Christians really, really think differently. And the whole scriptures is always like that. We look again in Romans 6:4. He says, we were then buried with him through baptism into death. Right? We die to the self in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. That even when we become Christians, we die to ourselves so that we can live for Christ. It has nothing to do with having an existence of life, and it has nothing to do that that existence of life is going to die. It has to do with everything kind of after you're born and before you're dead. That's living and dying at the same time. And sometimes Scripture doesn't really reference, it does reference the fact that we are going to physically die, but I tell you, that is not a big point of Scripture. Everybody dies. You know, and life cycles, generations come and they go, and they come again and they go again, and they just keep going through. That is the life cycle that God has created. But within that life cycle, God has the opportunity to give life to individuals that believe in Him. That is unbelievably unique in this world. And when we talk about the joy that God gives us, sometimes we have a hard time expressing that to a non-Christian. Oh, I'm just happy. I just feel so good. Why? Well, I don't know. It gives me peace, and I've got some, you know, structure in my life. And they're like, well, I can get that, you know, going to the Bahamas. You know, I can get that going on to a cruise line or something like that, you know, because a little structure, they have, you know, agenda things that's going on, and, you know, we're away from the world and all that. Yeah, so what's the big deal? But maybe we need to mention that He has given us life in this world where there's so much evil. When there's so much that draws people to death, which is that sin that they have, and it keeps pulling them away. We have some more scripture verses here. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Let's stop there for a moment. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. We love one another. Isn't that one of the commands that Jesus gives us? Isn't that one of the things that people will know that we are Christian? Because we love one another. And it's like we have passed from death to life because we are doing what the Lord has asked us to do. what the Lord has commanded us to do. You see, that's what gives life. Not just biologically being born. That's, yeah, we all do that, right? But when we're born, what do we do with that physical life that we have? The atheists and the agnostics, like, whatever, it doesn't matter. Whatever we leave behind, you know, this goes through. Can you imagine the number of people that are called Mike, you know, for example? And, you know, if you Google, like, Mike Galt, you'll get, there's a lot of Mike Galts in the United States, right? And when they die, who's going to know what really who they are? It's like Hope and I have talked about, you know, having tombstones and stuff like that. You know, 200 years from now, they see a tombstone that says, Mike Galt lived from this time to this time. And it's like, who's he? Well, I don't know. You know, it's like there's nothing left. You know, maybe some people can leave, you know, some little bit of a legacy, but eventually, there's nothing. Absolutely nothing. But what God says, what we do is we need to love one another. And it says here also, anyone who does not love remains in death. That means that every non-believer is not living, but dead. Can you see why the Apostle Paul wanted so much to spread the gospel to people? Because anybody that's not a Christian is already dead. I knew that. But I think putting this message together really just kind of like screamed out at me that our concept of death is so much different than the concept of death with an atheist or an agnostic or just non-believers, just in general. They think death comes when our body ceases. We believe that death is when you just reject God. That's death. Your sentence is already there. And it's really, really sad. In Philippians 1:12, Paul 1:21, Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Which means what we're looking to do is to live for Christ, do everything that He wants us to do, and then we put to death those physical things, those mind things, those emotional things, that does not please God. We choose to live for Christ wholly. Because if we're not living for Christ, we're dead. Yeah, and it's kind of a sad story. And Scripture just keeps coming out. It's just blown away in terms of looking at this. Romans 14:8. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord.
Amen.
You see, there's just it was impossible for me to separate living and dying as a Christian. Yes, we do that physically.
Pastor, but you're saying that a lot of that is because people don't come to the fact that there's a part of us that never dies.
Yeah.
But they don't accept that.
Yeah, and I've mentioned that too, because when people are talking, and I like to, you know, interject my little Christian aspect of it, I said, everybody kind of says, you know, right, we live here, and we do these things here, and there's the physical things that we're always concerned about. We're concerned about our physical health. We're concerned about our monetary bank, you know, wallet and stuff. And those are the things we tend to worry about. But there's a whole other part of life that if we deny it, then we really can't live. And that's our spiritual part, which is that which lasts forever. Yeah. And I said, if we live without giving any credit to our spiritualness, then we're really not living completely. We're not living to the fullness that what Christ, you know, the Scripture talks about. And I tell people, that's one of the reasons why I love reading Scripture, because it talks a lot about the spiritual aspect of it. Those things that we do, that fruit that is pleasing to God, that lasts forever. And there's those things that are just burned up in the fire because it's nothing to do with God or God's will. And so that we less than that. Yeah, so it's exactly right. So whether we live or we die physically, right, we still belong to the Lord. So those agnostics say, well, we'll figure that out once we die. It's a little late. And for the atheists who say you're just dead when you're dead, they're going to have a rude awakening too when it comes to that sort of thing. And 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Right? We know this is Christ's crucifixion, right? He died on the cross. He bore the world's sin on him, right? So that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Wow. Again, it goes back to us as Christians dying to that self-will, dying to that self-righteousness, dying to that self-knowledge, and accepting what Christ has done for us. That He has given us a life eternal. It's just an unbelievable blessing. So what it means here, just literally what it's meaning, the atheist in me dies. The agnostic in me dies. And what I have in place of that is a life that Christ gives me that can only come from Him. Why? Because He took those sins and He took the penalty that goes with it, death. And it's gone. It's erased for those who believe Him. So we look at this and we realize the importance of Christ in being a Christian. We can't be a Christian without Christ. That's just impossible to be able to do that. And that God made that way, because He says here, by His wounds we have been healed. Now, is He talking physically or is He talking spiritually? Spiritually, of course. What's more important, the physical or the spiritual? The spiritual. So He did what was most important for us. And we just have to expect to respect that. Yes, He also heals the physical, you know. But what we're talking about, what He did on the cross, is a spiritual healing. And by His stripes, you know, what are we talking about? The whippings that He took, the beatings that He took, the blood that He shed, right? For that atoning sacrifice. It's huge that kind of goes along with it. He did this so that we can have life, and we start to understand the love that God has for us is way beyond the love that we could ever express to anybody. But if we latch on to His love, we're going to have little teddy bears named after us. Isn't that right, Mr. Curtis? That was such a beautiful story. I love that. Romans 8:13-14. For if you live according to the sinful nature, right? To the self-will, the atheists and agnostics, and say, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, and you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So if you want to try that path of being agnostic, if you want to try the path of being an atheist, guess what? Not only will you die, you're already dead. That there's nothing for you. So when you start talking about what it means to be a Christian to a non-Christian, speak about that life that God has given you. That eternal life that you cannot get on your own. And in all of that, there's hope and there's joy and there's meaning and there's self-control and all of those things that God can give us that you can't find in this world. People look for it all over the place. They look for it with different partners, different types of partners. They look for it, you know, in the wealth. And they look for it in recognition. They look for it sometimes even in drugs, maybe just to escape that which is, you know, evil and you can't deal with. But none of those things bring life. All of those things bring death. And you're just wallowing in death, and you wonder why people are walking around with their heads down, and you know, no smile on their face, and there's no spring in their step, and it's because they're dead already. They're like the walking zombies, if I can say that, because they don't really want to recognize that in their heart there is God, as like Charlie was talking about. You know, those people that when you get to the point where you've got to choose life or death. Maybe then you start to cry out to God. Which is really sad because think of all that time that they could have lived for Christ. And that they've lost that time and how they can mourn for them. We've got one last verse. No, do I have? No, sorry, a couple more here. In 2 Timothy 1:9 through 10, this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, right? So when we start already talking about that, God has a plan even before you were created, right? So that's that eternalness that's already there. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus' message is life. He defeated death. Where is your sting, O death? Remember that verse there? But God has conquered this world. Right? He's broken that aspect of what death has done to us, right? And it's like, He has destroyed that, which means, as a Christian, we don't experience death. Yeah, we're going to die, our physical death, so what? Everybody does. But we're not going to die in that spiritual death. And we're going to have life everlasting in a place where there is no death. Where there is no sin, there's no weeping and gnashing. And Romans 8, 6 through 7 says, the mind of sinful man is death. Every individual that does not believe in Jesus Christ is dead already. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. So when we look at, you know, maybe this is a factor to look at, you know, a life or with some individual and say, you know, do you believe in God? And they'll say, oh yeah, I believe in God and stuff like that. Well, do you submit to God? Oh, no. I think some of the things that He does is good. I mean, some of the things that He does is good, you know. It's like, so then really, you're basically hostile to God, which means you are dead. No, I'm a living. Look at me. I'm alive. I got skin. I pick my cheek and then all the rosy colors come out and stuff like that. I'm alive. What about the Spirit? Yeah. No, you're right. What about the Spirit? You're dead. And so we look at this message that I've got is, live or die. What do you want to do? Well, we need to do both, right? We need to live for Christ and die to the self. As I really like these little series we're doing of this or that. In John 5:24, it says, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. This is the last verse that I've got because it really stands out. You can't have life if you're dead. I know that sounds kind of stupid, but you can't have Christ if you don't live for him. Because, like it says, we have crossed over when we believe that God the Father sent God the Son to die for our sins on that cross. And with that moment, when we surrender our lives to God, we have crossed over from death to life. And as Fern is saying, life eternal, forever and ever with God. That death has no hold on us anymore because sin has been taken care of. When we accept the one who did all of that, then we can live. Until we do, we are dead. There's a whole world out there of dead people. We are to be the light that shines forth, that people can see in the darkness of their lives, and to know that there is something out there that can touch them, transform their lives from something that means nothing to something that means everything, to something that is dead to something that is alive. Our job is to be God's witnesses to those dead individuals. I'm going to say it again. There's a lot of dead people out there. They need God. And they need us to show them a little bit of God. Right? We're going to be the Paul. We're going to be the Apollos. We're going to be the Barnabas. And then God's going to do the watering and the flourishing. He touches the heart. But we need to let them know about that life. Because they're clueless. They're the philosophers of this world that say, my way is the right way. Well, your way leads to death every time. Christ's way leads to life every time. Amen? All right, Lord, I just thank you for this word that we have here today, and may our hearts be touched because we are alive in Christ. And this we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen.